1 through 9, we spoke about the fact that everything begins with God. We must have an attitude of worship. We must give attendance to the Word, and then we will attain wisdom. There has to be an attitude of worship. We must give attention to the Word, and then we will attain wisdom. And then a few Wednesday nights ago, we looked at verses 10 through 19, and we spoke about the fact that Solomon is speaking to his son, and his son has a choice. He can either be enticed by the sinner, or he can say no, or he can not go. The Bible says in verse 10, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Verse 15, it says, "My son, walk not thou in the way with them." When we're enticed by the world, the flesh, and the devil, we ought to say no, and we shouldn't go. That's two words, very simple, no and go. Say no, don't go. If the world, the flesh, and the devil tempts us, if sinners entice thee, say no and don't go. So tonight we want to pick up in verse number 20, verse number 20 down through the end of the chapter. And I want to bring you a message tonight entitled, a little bit unusual title tonight, but I want to bring you a message entitled, "The British Are Coming." The British are coming. All of you know that phrase from history. In Paul Revere's famous Midnight Ride, and you know some of the history, at least some of you may know some of the history behind that. But Paul Revere was employed by the Committee of Safety as an express rider to carry news, messages, and copies of important documents. And on the evening of April the 18th, 1775, he was employed, he was summoned to ride to Lexington, Massachusetts. And by the way, that's not the only place he rode to, but he was to ride there with the news that British soldiers stationed in Boston were about to march into the countryside northwest of the town. And so we know the story that night that Paul Revere rides through these towns and he gives the warning that the British are coming. And in our text tonight, in Proverbs chapter number 1, verses 20 through 33, our spiritual Paul Revere tonight is wisdom. Look at verse number 20. Would you look at verse 20? By the way, let me do this before we read verse 20. What was the point of Paul Revere riding through these towns and through these cities and crying out, "The British are coming"? What was the point of all of that? It was a warning. A warning of what? The British are coming. Okay. If they did not heed the warning, what would happen? The British would come. The British would overtake. Danger. We know the point of that proclamation, "The British are coming." Hey, it was a warning. The British are coming. They desire our defeat. They desire for us to be captured, to be taken prisoner. They desire for our cities to be defeated and captured. And so we understand that phrase and what it meant. And that's exactly what's being done here in Proverbs chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 20. Wisdom, as the metaphorical spiritual Paul Revere, is crying out. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 20. "Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city. She uttereth her words, saying." Now we're going to stop right there just by way of introduction. We'll get down to verse number 22 in just a moment. But I want us to see tonight several things in these verses about wisdom. That's what we're speaking about in the book of Proverbs. And I want to encourage our hearts tonight. I want to help us, want to remind us of some truth tonight here in Proverbs chapter number 1, verse number 20. Because here's the truth tonight. The world, the flesh, and the devil never ever gives up. Never stops attacking. By the way, if you don't believe that, just read Ephesians 6. Read Ephesians 6. We just preached a series of messages a few weeks ago, maybe a few months ago, Battle Ready. If you don't believe that the devil is always on attack, read Ephesians 6. Why in the world does God tell us to put on the whole armor if He doesn't, if the devil maybe every now and then attacks? No, He tells us we're to take the armor, His armor, on every single day. Why? Because the devil is constantly attacking with temptation, trying to detour us from what God has called us to do. He's trying to get us off track. And the world, the flesh, and the devil are constantly attacking. And so wisdom cries out. Wisdom is the metaphorical Paul Revere, if you will, spiritually speaking. Wisdom is crying out, and wisdom is saying, listen to me. Listen. Stop listening to your own way. Listen to me. And so that's what I want us to see tonight. And so let's pray. Let's ask God to help, and we'll get right into the outline, right into the message tonight. By the way, let me say this. Her proclamation comes from a confident, established point of authority. Her words come from God Almighty. So when wisdom cries out, wisdom cries from a point of authority. It's not an opinion, it's God's very word. Where do we get wisdom? We get it from God's word. And so may we see that tonight. Father, we love You tonight. Help us as only You can. Father, just remind us tonight. Father, I know to whom I speak tonight. I speak to the Wednesday night crowd. Father, I understand that. But Father, I'm not naive to think that all of us don't possibly struggle and deal with temptation. And Father, we need to be prepared. And we need to be ready. And so, Lord, I pray that You'd help us with that tonight. And Father, I do ask that You'd help the young ones that are here tonight, the teenagers, the kids, the juniors. Father, I pray for all the workers tonight. And Father, I pray that Your word would go forth with truth and clarity and power. Father, I pray that there be a young person or a teenager here tonight that's not saved. Father, I pray that tonight would be their night of salvation. Father, I pray if there would be someone in this auditorium tonight that has doubts about their eternal destination, where they're going to spend eternity, Father, I pray that they would settle that tonight. Father, You've paved the way for us. Father, You sent Your Son. He died. He rose again. He shed His blood so that we could have absolute forgiveness and cleansing of sin, so that we could be confident and assured. We could know without a doubt that we're headed to heaven. And Father, we can know right now that we can live the abundant Christian life while we live upon this earth. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to enjoy all the benefits of salvation. Father, we can enjoy them even right now. And so, Father, I pray that You'd help us to do so. Father, I pray that You'd be with those that are sick tonight. Pray that You'd be with those that are traveling. Pray that You'd help my wife and daughter tonight. Father, I pray that You'd help the Troll family tonight. Father, I pray that You would do in their lives what only You can. Father, I pray that You give them comfort. Pray that You give them the peace that passeth all understanding. Father, help as only You can. Father, may Your Holy Spirit indeed be that great comforter to them in the days to come. Father, we love You tonight. We love Your word. We're thankful for it. Father, help us to be more obedient to it. Father, we'll thank You for what You'll do in our hearts in these next few moments. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let me give you number one tonight, if you're taking notes or even if you're just taking mental notes tonight. I want us to see, first of all, that wisdom's cry is public. Wisdom's cry is public. It is not hidden. The Bible says in verse number 20, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. Wisdom's cry is public. God doesn't hide from us what He expects from us. God doesn't hide from us His wisdom. God doesn't hide from us His plan for us and His way for us to live the abundant Christian life. He doesn't hide that from us. And wisdom here in Proverbs chapter number 1, as Solomon is trying to get his son to understand, son, listen to me. Son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Son, if sinners desire for you to walk with them, don't go with them. And he says in verse number 20, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, where everybody travels. Wisdom cries out in the openings of the gates in the city. She uttereth her words. Wisdom's cry is public. It is not hidden. And by the way, for us tonight, There's absolutely no excuse, because all of us tonight have had the Word of God preached to us multiple times. There's no excuse for any of us tonight not to know what the Bible says about the matter of wisdom, because we've heard it. Wisdom's cry is public. She cries, first of all, in the highways. She cries in the hamlets. She cries in the hood. Wisdom's cry is not hidden. She cries in the highways, the Bible says. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse. What does that word concourse mean? It's the place where people travel. And the Bible says she cries in the chief place of concourse. She cries out in the highways. And then the Bible says she cries in the gates. She cries in the city. She cries in the highways. She cries in the hamlets and the little villages and the little towns where people live. She cries in the hood. She cries in the neighborhood. She cries in the big cities. Her cry is public. It's not hidden. So number one tonight, we see that wisdom's cry is public. Number two, but here's the thing, not a whole lot of people are listening, are they? No, they're not. Wisdom's cry is public. But number two, wisdom's counsel is plain. What did the Apostle Paul say? He said, I use plainness of speech. He said, I don't try to convince someone with eloquent speech. I just use plainness of speech. And that's exactly what wisdom does. In Proverbs chapter number 1, wisdom's cry is public, but her counsel is plain. It's pointed. She gets right to the point. That, again, there's no ambiguity about it. It's not hidden, but it's not deep. It's plain. It's simple. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 22. Because this is what she says. In the last part of verse number 21, she uttereth her words saying, verse number 22, how long? How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning. And fools hate knowledge. She says, how long? How long before you listen? Verse number 23, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Wisdom's cry is public, but wisdom's counsel is plain. This is what her counsel is. First of all, her counsel to the simple is this: stop loving. To the simple, she says, stop loving. Stop loving what? Simplicity. Stop loving simplicity. Stop loving the fact that you don't care if you know or you don't know. The simple in the book of Proverbs, you have the fool, you have the wise, you have the simple. The fool is the individual who hears and rejects. The wise is the person who hears and receives. The simple is the person who just doesn't know. And the Bible says that wisdom cries to the simple, how long will you love simplicity? How long? Kind of what we spoke about Sunday night, talking about milk and meat. How long are we going to love just going along in our Christian lives, glad that we're headed to heaven, but not caring if we go any further than that? In Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 1, it says, therefore, let us go on unto perfection. That's the idea of maturity. In chapter 5, verses 11 through 14, he says, look, you should be teaching, you should be taking strong meat, you should be of full age, but you're still having to be taught. And then in chapter 6, verse number 1, he says, therefore, let us go on unto perfection. Let us move on to maturity. Let us go on unto full age. Let us grow. And so to the simple ones, wisdom says, stop loving your simplicity and start listening. So wisdom counsel is plain. To the simple, she says, stop loving. To the scorner, she says, stop laughing. To the scorner, she says, stop laughing. The Bible says, and the scorners delight in their scorning. Wisdom's counsel is plain. To the simple, stop loving. To the scorner, stop laughing. Somehow today I got on a Facebook site of one of my extended family members. I haven't had any contact with them in years. They probably wouldn't even remember who I am, but I got on that. I happened upon it, and I was saddened in my heart because of this individual's spirit of scorning spiritual things. And I know how this individual was raised. And he was laughing and mocking at and scorning spiritual things. By the way, I saw, and I didn't see it because I watched this individual. I saw it because it was a headline on a news outlet that I was looking at today, looking at the election results. But it had a headline about one of the late night show hosts and how he used or how he had a choir, and I don't know if it was last night or sometime recently, but a choir singing about abortion. Positively, in a positive light. And I thought to myself, first of all, and again, God's more merciful than we are, isn't He? And praise His name for that. But I thought, how long is this individual going to get to live when he keeps blaspheming God like that? But then I thought, scorner. I thought that's exactly what we're talking about tonight. Scorner. You know what wisdom's counsel is to the simple? Stop loving your simplicity. Wisdom's counsel to the scorner is stop laughing. Because one of these days you're not going to be laughing. Wisdom's counsel is stop laughing. The Bible says that fools make a mock at sin. And by the way, I'm getting ahead of myself because that's the third category we find in verse number 22. And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. To the simple, he says, stop loving. To the scorner, he says, stop. She says, stop laughing. To the senseless, the fool, she says, stop loathing. It says in verse number 22, and fools hate knowledge. And so to the senseless, to the fool, she says, stop loathing, stop hating knowledge. Take your Bibles, if you would, and go just a little ways. Would you look at chapter number 14? Proverbs chapter number 14. We just mentioned this, but look at verse number 9. Proverbs chapter number 14 and verse number 9. The Bible says, fools. Again, what is a fool? A fool is an individual who has heard but has rejected, heard but refused. The Bible says, fools make a mock at sin. Fools laugh and scorn and mock at sin. And by the way, God help us that we don't do that. Because when we do, we're foolish. When we laugh at sin, we're foolish. When we laugh at someone else involved in sin, when we maybe possibly watch something on TV and somebody's involved in sin, but we laugh at it, we're foolish. That doesn't mean I'm not saved, but that does mean I'm foolish for doing that. That does mean I lack discernment in that area. We spoke about that Sunday night. A mature individual, discernment is an evidence of maturity. Discernment is an evidence of spirituality. And someone who is still carnal and is still a babe in Christ, they lack discernment. And sometimes we laugh at things we ought not laugh at. The Bible says, fools make a mock at sin. Wisdom's counsel is plain. We ought to be careful at the jokes we laugh at. We ought to be careful at the words we laugh at. We ought to be careful at the TV shows and the activities that are engaged in on those TV shows that we laugh at. But to be very, very careful about that. To the senseless, to the fool, wisdom says, stop loathing. By the way, back in Proverbs chapter 1, if you'll come back there, look down at verses 29 and 30. Proverbs 1, verses 29 and 30. The Bible says, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. What does that mean? They would none of my counsel. They wouldn't listen to my counsel. They would not obey my counsel. They would not put my counsel into practice. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. To the senseless, wisdom says, stop loathing. To the scorner, stop laughing. To the simple, stop loving. And then finally, to every soul, wisdom says, start listening. To every soul, wisdom says, start listening to what I have to say. Start listening. Wisdom's cry is public. Wisdom's counsel is plain. Hey, listen, let me say this tonight. Don't ever, if you're ever in a conversation with me, don't ever say, well, Pastor, I know what the Bible says, but. Don't you ever do that, because I'm not going to listen. There is no but. If the Bible says it, we need to listen to it. Well, Pastor, I know what the Bible says, but... No but. If the Bible says it, that's enough. You ever seen that license plate? The Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it. Hey, we can leave that middle part out, because that doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if I believe it or not. The Bible says it, that settles it, whether I believe it or not. The Bible says it, that settles it. And wisdom to every soul, she's crying out, start listening. By the way, look at verse number 23. What happens when we start listening to wisdom? Verse number 23, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my Spirit on you. I will make known my words to you. What happens when we start listening? What happens is we have repentance and we start listening, or we start regarding, or we start responding rightly to reproof. He says, turn you at my reproof. We start acknowledging reproof. We start receiving reproof. We start accepting reproof, which in turn causes us to repent. And so to every soul, she says, start listening. Number one, we see wisdom's cry is public. Number two, wisdom's counsel is plain. And then thirdly, in the remainder of the chapter, we see that wisdom's consequences are proclaimed. Wisdom's consequences are proclaimed. Notice verse number 24. We'll begin there. Let me just read the rest of the chapter and then we'll come back. Wisdom's consequences are proclaimed. Verse 24, because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. You see there again? What does wisdom say? My cry is public. I have called and I have called and I have called. What happened? You refused. You regarded not. Verse 25, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. Wisdom says, when I came along and tried to reprove, when I came along and tried to chasten, you didn't take it for what it was. You took it for some coincidence, or you took it for some just something bad that happened in my life. Instead of seeing the reproof, instead of seeing the chastisement, instead of seeing, hey, this is the hand of God, I need to get some things right. Verse 26. Hey, scorner, you want to laugh? I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. You see, God gets right to the point. We try to tiptoe around things sometimes, and we try to make it as palatable as possible sometimes. And sometimes that's necessary. Don't misunderstand me. But you know what? God just doesn't hold any punches, and He just breaks through right to the point. And He says in verse number 26, okay, scorner, you're going to laugh. Fool, you're going to make a mock at sin. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way. What is that? What's verse 31? They will eat of the fruit of their own way. Okay, their own desires. What is that a perfect example of? You get what you deserve. What did you say, Miss Jo? You reap what you sow. You get what you deserve. It's a great example of Galatians 6. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And he says here in verse number 31, therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Wisdom's consequences are proclaimed. Two groups of people, two consequences. First of all, we see the consequences for those who refuse. For those who refuse and those who regard not. Same group of people. But the Bible uses two words there in verse number 24. He says, verse 24, because I have called and you refused, I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded. And so the first group, we see the consequences for those who refuse. The consequences for those who refuse to listen to wisdom. Where do we find wisdom? God's Word. And we see the consequences for those who refuse to listen. And by the way, here's the truth tonight. Every single one of us, probably in some area in our lives, sometime in our lives, have probably refused to listen to God's Word. I say that could probably be true for, I would want to say probably 100% of us. I don't know. You may have a halo on tonight. And if you do, that's great. Because we should listen every single time. But probably in some area, at some time in our lives, probably all of us have refused and regarded not the wisdom or the counsel of wisdom. And probably many of you tonight could stand and give testimony of the consequences of that. Whatever the sin may be, whatever the area may be, you could stand tonight and give the consequences for not regarding and refusing the counsel of wisdom. What are some of the consequences we find here? First of all, they will reap disaster. The word is calamity in verse number 26. They will reap disaster. They will reap desolation. Desolation carries the idea of misery and loneliness. They will reap desolation. The Bible says it in verse number 27. When your fear cometh as desolation, misery and loneliness, they will reap desolation. By the way, in Sunday school, Sunday morning, we looked at King Jehoram, forgotten at 40. Forgotten at 40. The Bible says there that he departed and no one desired him. What does that mean? That means he departed and nobody cared. He departed and everybody was glad he was gone. You know what? That's desolation. That's misery. That's loneliness. That's dying and nobody cares. You don't want to die that way, do you? Do you want to die that way? None of us want to die that way. All of us, when we pass from this life to the next, we want at least a handful of people at the funeral, right? Sure you do. Matter of fact, you would hope there would be a room full of individuals. But the Bible says that King Jehoram, he died. And by the way, it was like this because of how he lived his life. He had taken Judah after Asa, his granddaddy, and Jehoshaphat, his daddy, almost 66 years of righteous reign, of righteous rule. And then for the next 8 years under Jehoram, it was nothing but wickedness. Nothing but wickedness like King Ahab, the Bible says, because he married a daughter of Ahab. And the Bible says he departed and nobody desired him. Nobody cared. What's their consequences? Desolation. Thirdly, destruction. Destruction, same verse number 27, when your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, verse 31 as well, therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. They will reap destruction. They will reap distress, verse 27. They will reap distress. What about Lot? The word distress, it carries the idea of straits. It carries the idea of pressure. Think about Lot at the end of his life. His wife turned and looked back and turned to a pillar of salt. His two daughters, we know what happened there. Distress. Why? Because he didn't listen to wisdom's counsel. They will reap desperation, verses 28 through 30. Verse 28, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. the consequences for those who refuse. They will reap disaster, desolation, destruction, distress, desperation. Hey, remember in Numbers chapter 13 and 14, the nation of Israel there at Kadesh Barnea, they send the 12 spies out, they come back. We know the story. But at the end of Numbers 14, after God has proclaimed judgment upon Israel, and He's already told them what's going to happen. Well, at the end of Numbers chapter 14, the Israelites try to go up. They say, no, we're sorry for our lack of faith. We're sorry, we're going to go. And God said, you can go, but you're going to be defeated. And they tried to go. God had already proclaimed their judgment. They were going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years, and everyone 20 years old and upward, everyone above 20 years was going to die. 20 years old and upward. God had already spoken. But in desperation, the next morning the Bible says they rose up and they tried to go in, and they were handily defeated. Why? Because God wasn't with them. God had already taken His hand off of them. He had already proclaimed judgment. And the Bible says here in verse number 28, then shall they call upon Me, but I will not answer. Then shall they call upon Me, but I will not answer. They shall seek Me early, but they shall not find Me. Desperation. And then finally, verse 31, they will reap their own devices. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. We've mentioned this before, but anytime I see that phrase or that thought, my mind always goes back to one person. It's the man Haman. The man Haman who built the gallows for Mordecai, wanted to hang him on the gallows there. And who ended up getting hanged there? It was Haman. And when I see verse 31, I always think about Haman, because he died of his own devices. He died of what he had planned for someone else to die at the hand of. And he died at his own devices. But then secondly, we see another group. And we only have one verse for the second group. For the first group, we have verses 24 down through verse 32. But then for the second group, we only have verse 33. Wisdom's consequences are proclaimed. The consequences for those who refuse. And then secondly, the consequences for those who receive. For those who hear wisdom's counsel and just take it in. For those who listen and take it in and apply it. They don't just hear it. They actually listen and they take it in and they apply it. They receive it with joy. They receive it with steadfastness. They receive it as the Bereans received the Word in Acts chapter number 17. With all readiness of mind, the Bible says, they received it. And we have one verse that gives the consequences for those who receive. The word is hearken. Those who listen, those who hear, those who receive. But whoso hearkeneth unto Me. Who is Me? It's wisdom. But whoso hearkeneth unto Me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. What are the two consequences? Two things. They will reap safety and they will reap serenity. They will reap safety and they will reap serenity. The Bible says, and shall be quiet. That's that peace that passeth all understanding. That's that peace that this world never understands. But that's what is reaped by the individual who receives wisdom and listens to her instruction and grows in her knowledge and understanding and grows in discernment. She receives safety and she receives serenity. And can I say tonight, there is a world full of people who desire both of those. Because in their lives right now, tonight, whether it's Christian, whether it's saved, unsaved, believer or unbeliever, it doesn't matter. There are scores of individuals all around this world who live in turmoil. They never feel safe. And they live in fear all the time. No peace. No peace. No serenity. No quietness. Quiet from fear of evil. That doesn't mean that evil is not going to come. Right? That doesn't mean that temptation or trial... By the way, in Luke chapter 7, I believe it is. Or Matthew chapter 7. It's also in Luke. I believe it's in Luke 6. But in Matthew chapter 7, the wise man and the fool. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And what came to both of those houses? The storms. So it's not saying, well, the wise man, he built his house upon the rock and he never has any trouble. You know better than that, don't you? Just because you build your house upon the rock and you build your house upon the Word of God, that doesn't mean trouble's never going to come to your life. By the way, sometimes that means more trouble's going to come to your life. Sometimes that means the devil's going to fight even harder. But the Bible says even in the midst of that, there's safety and there's serenity. Peace is not found in the absence of troubles. It's found in what? The presence of God. Peace is not found in the absence of troubles. It's found in the presence of God. And that's where the individual who receives, that's where they live. They live in the presence of Almighty God. And so the storms can rage. The storms can come to their home. The devil can fight. The world, the flesh, and the devil can attack. Peace. Because he's trusting in the Almighty. He's trusting in the giver of wisdom. Safety and serenity. But you say, Pastor, that missionary lost his life. Yeah, he's more safe and serene than any of us. Well, what about his wife and his four kids? I don't know them personally. But if they hold on to what they believe, safety and serenity. If they hold on to the wisdom that they have, even at the loss of a father, the loss of a husband, safety and serenity. The British are coming. The world, the flesh, and the devil's coming. Wisdom's crying out, listen to me. Listen, church family tonight, let's listen. Let's listen. Her cry is public. She's not hiding anything from us. Her counsel is plain. It's pointed. Let's listen to it. Father, thank you for the time you've given us tonight. Most of all, Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the wisdom that can only be found. Oh, yes, we can have the wisdom of this world. But in your eyes, that's foolishness. And Father, I'm thankful that you have given us your wisdom. Father, may we listen to it tonight. May we hearken to it. May we receive it. And may we reap that safety and serenity. Oh yes, the storms may come, the trials may come, the troubles, the world, the flesh, and the devil may jump on top of us with everything they have. But Father, thank you for the safety and serenity that you give us. Father, we love you tonight. We're thankful, so thankful. We're thankful for salvation. We're thankful for the abundant Christian life. We're thankful for the scriptures that you've given us. Father, may we live a life that manifests that thankfulness back to you. And God, help us to do that. Father, give us safety as we go to our homes. Bring us back together at the next appointed time. And we'll thank you for it. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You are dismissed. I'd encourage you. We are going to have a business meeting, but please do. It's about 5 till if you can.